You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, Brain, here we are, Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
Thanksgiving week.
I'm love on vacation. A short week of work. Love even more getting ready to chow down with some friends and family.
Yeah, we love a short week of work, or in my case, no work this week. I'm on vacation, coming to you from the Chicago suburbs, my friend's house. I'm not even, you can see, I'm not in, if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, you can see I'm not in my usual digs here. I'm in my friend's office, so I'm inviting everybody to do all things with love, which I think is terrific advice just in general, but I think it's probably more important when you're talking about football. You want to make sure you're doing things with love. So how we do things here on Same Old Dolphin Show, even though people give us crap sometimes and tell us that we're too negative, but it's all out of love, baby. It's all love, right?
I've got a lot of love to give
today.
That's
right. We got a lot of love to give, and we're gonna give some of that love today as we talk about that Dolphins victory over the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday, a victory that looked like a little bit of a different kind of victory. It looked like a victory from like the kind of Dolphins teams that we've seen the years before. These last couple of years, but we're gonna talk about that game, break it down for you here on today's episode. But before we do that, a reminder to everybody, if you're not doing so already, make sure you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at AmplifiedToRock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at AmplifiedToRock. The show at Same Old Dolphins. I've given Aaron an invite code, so maybe Aaron will hop on over to Blue Sky at some point. If you want to hop on over to Blue Sky, let me know, send you an invite. And make sure you're subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. And make sure you are visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, even during the holiday week when we've got a big football game coming up on Friday as the Dolphins travel to the Meadowlands to take on Tim Boyle and the New York Jets, who have apparently benched Zach Wilson. But we'll talk more about that later this week. We have a special song about it, too. But Brain, here we go. Miami Dolphins got a win. It's a big win. It might not have been the most impressive win you've ever seen, but it was a good win because a win is a win is a win is a win is a win, and you're never going to complain about a win overall in the National Football League. So I think we got to just dive in by checking our pulse.
You check your pulse if you're not fired up.
Right, it is once again time for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where we ask you for one word to describe how you feel about the Miami Dolphins right now. How do you feel? Let us know if you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube page the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel or the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Go ahead and put it right in the comments. Let us know, how are you feeling right now? What is your one word to describe how you feel about the Miami Dolphins right now? Brain, I'm going to dive right in with you. How are you feeling?
You know, I was mulling a few different words, and honestly, up until a few seconds ago, I thought I had my word. But, you know, the way I feel stagnant. I want so badly to buy in to this team being different and this team reaching new heights. And, you know, I'll say that there's obvious progress that's been made with this team. I think they've gotten to the point where I think everybody feels very confident that this is a playoff team. But the bar has been raised and we're waiting for this team to show us that they can hit that next level. Because right now, if you're putting this team in, if you're putting the teams in the NFL in tiers, to me, there are three teams that are on the championship tier. Two of those teams were in the Super Bowl last year and are playing right now as we record this. And that's Philadelphia and Kansas City. The other one is San Francisco. I think Baltimore has an argument to be made for them possibly being in that tier, but I'm not necessarily sold on them. I think Miami is firmly in that second tier. I don't think there's an argument to be made that Miami is on that first tier. Any argument that can be made for Miami being on that first tier is dripping in, you know, homerism. It's basically saying, well, we should have beaten Kansas City, or we could have beaten Philadelphia, but the ref screwed it. There's always an excuse. At the end of the day, the team hasn't broken through. And so we're waiting for this team to break through. And a lot has been talked about how this team can't beat good teams, blah, blah, blah. We're all sick of the narrative. But the thing is, this team has been playing the same kind of football now for over a month. They have been coming out flat. They have been underperforming against teams that they should be having their way with. And granted, sometimes that still means you win by a couple of touchdowns against the Giants and you win by a few touchdowns against Carolina because those teams are bad and you're just on a different level. And sometimes when you play good teams, you lose the game. And then sometimes you play a bad team and you let them hang around. And this game very easily could have been a loss. And it wasn't a loss, and I'm happy about that. And you're right, a win is a win is a win. But at the end of the day, if this team is going to get where we need them to be, they're going to need to play a whole lot better. And not just better than they played on Sunday, but better than they've played now for the majority of the season. Because let's be real about this. This team has played one complete game this season, and it was the game against Denver. Aside from that, they very easily could have lost in week one against the Chargers. Even though they dominated the game against the Patriots in week two, the Patriots had an opportunity. The Patriots were like half a yard away from having a first down, like 30 yards away from tying the football game. And then you have this game. And the issue that I have right now is that when it keeps happening over and over again, and the team keeps playing the same way over and over again, it's not a fluke. This is who the team is right now. And granted, there's reason for optimism because the defense has shown a substantial improvement. They were bad at the beginning of the season, and now they're playing at a very high level. But the problem is that the offense, which started the season on a historic pace, is now not even looking like one of the best offenses in the league. It's looking like a good offense. I'm not going to say they're bad. You know, they can still put up numbers, but something is missing, and this offense is nothing special. And if the offense is nothing special, then you're putting a lot of onus on that defense to be special for this team to ultimately get where they want to be. I think the biggest thing is them coming out flat week after week after week. In the last five games, the Dolphins have been outscored 41-17 in the first quarter of games. This has to get corrected. And just really, they've outplayed everybody else. They've won all of the other quarters. I think the fourth quarter has been tied, but they've had substantial advantages in the second and third quarters of games. Where this team is underperforming is at the start of the games. So this team needs to get it right. The schedule is made for them to get it right. This is the schedule you want when you're not playing your best football. And you'd rather be not playing your best football in November rather than late December, January. So you've got time to figure it out. But until they get there, right now, I'm stagnant.
I think that's a good word, Brain. And let's take a look at what we hired from the friends on Twitter, at Dolphins Talk. Thankful. Big Steve Summers says, hungry. Mr. Tim says, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. David says, frustrated but hopeful. Cornrow Donnie says, defense. Daniel GC says, ready. Kicking it with Kyle says, flipped. James Sonny Burnett says, fine. Warrior Boss, good. John Singleton summoning the great Jim Mandich by saying, all right. Jordan Murray, focused. DJ feels good. Connors is expectant. JD, really good. Miami Mark, balanced. Callie is gritty. Kaleem is happy. James is nervous. Nandito is great, not so great. Daniel is doubtful. OT is optimistic. Cubinator 10 is puzzled. Tua Dimes is ready. Andrew Lemel is confident. Bill Lewis is optimistic. MS Solar 819 is cautiously optimistic. That's two words, but we'll allow it. Ryan Meppam is underwhelmed. Robert Turnell is concerned. Fins for me is pumped. Jay Arich is confident. And Jay Malone is spoiled. I think there are good cases for every single one of those. Let's take a look here live in our chat because I think we've gotten a few good ones here. Let's see. Golski is hopeful. Jeff Harris, optimistic. J.M. Santos is wary. Brian Newman is happy. Knicks, underachieving. Hooked Up Joe is confident, thanks to the D. Cap for Life is hungry. And Tervailus Tinker is anxious. So that leads me to mine. And Brain, I'm going to tell you that mine is, along with some of those, goes right along with them. Mine, I'm feeling impatient. I'm impatient for a lot of things. I feel like that's been a kind of a theme throughout the course of this season. I was really excited for how things were going early on. And then I was impatient for us to get to those big games, the big tests, looking for those signature victories, still looking for those. But I'm impatient because I'm impatient to see the entire team come together. What we're seeing now is the defense is clicking on a really great level, but the offense has taken a step back as opposed to earlier this season when the offense was on fire and the defense was struggling. Now it's sort of swapped. So I'm impatient to try to see what that finished article is going to look like. And I know that we're still a ways away from that. And there's still time, as you said, for the Dolphins to figure out what that is going to be. But for now, I remain impatient. And, you know, the fact of the matter is at some point down the line here, they're either going to get there or they're not going to get there. I'm also impatient for them to actually be successful and actually not be the same old Dolphins. Maybe they're still on track to be not the same old Dolphins, but that remains to be seen at this point in time. So that's my pulse check right now. That's kind of where I'm at. Let's dive into this game a little bit more deeply. We'll dive into this one the way we typically do our good, bad, and ugly, because I think that's probably the easiest way to break it down. And I think we've got to start with the good here, Brain. And the fact of the matter is, the good is, listen, you won the game. You did what you needed to do. You won the game. You're 7-3. You maintained your two-game lead at the top of the AFC East. The Bills had a nice-looking victory over the Jets, but you still maintained your two-game lead. So you did what you needed to do. You didn't play your best football on all sides of the ball. In fact, sometimes at times it was kind of ugly offensively, but you did what you needed to do, so you won the game. And that's the most important thing, right? You never apologize for winning a game in the National Football League. So you got the win. That's good. But what else in terms of individual units? I think if you're going to talk about individual units, the place you got to start is the defense, right? Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins, all having great games up front, continuing to see that front four gel. I mean, Zach Seeler, I thought, played well in this game too. But if we're going to talk about the defense, you got to start with Jalen Ramsey. Two interceptions, including the one at the end of the game that sealed it. Jalen Ramsey, when targeted this season, Brain, is currently allowing, you want to take a guess at what the passer rating is that he's allowing when targeted this season? You're muted, so nobody can hear you. Technically, yes.
Okay. 9?
0.0.
Wait, really?
When targeted this season, he's giving up a passer rating of 0.0. Now, Brain, I am not the most brilliant football mind on the planet. But is that good?
That's very good. And okay. And Jalen Ramsey is elite. And at this point, you know, given what was given up in the trades, the Jalen Ramsey trade is as good, if not better, than the Tyreek Hill trade at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you could make that argument. And I think if you wanted to really break it down, you probably could. But yeah, he has been absolutely outstanding. I thought he had just another phenomenal game. And you were really seeing, you know, in spite of a lot of people saying, well, maybe he's a little washed up, maybe he's a little over the hill, I think he's kind of putting all of that to bed right now. He's having an incredible season so far. Brain, what else you got for good in this game?
Well, I think the other thing that was good, even though I hesitate to put anybody on the offense in this category after this game, Tyreek Hill is good. I mean, the touchdown catch alone, for him, when he goes up to catch that ball, I'm thinking for sure he's getting hit in a couple of steps, surrounded by four defensive backs or defensive players. They seem to have the angle on him, and he goes in untouched. I mean, and then some of these deep outs, because of the respect that you have to pay him on his speed and because of his ability to put his foot in the dirt and just stop on a dime or break off a route on a dime, the separation that he gets on these deep outs, I mean, you're talking like 10 yards of separation on some of these, and you're talking like 20 yards downfield. It's just unreal what this guy is doing. And it's just kind of ho-hum, just another 10 catches, 146 yards. This guy is going to break through. If he stays healthy, and we had a little bit of a scare in this one, but if he stays healthy, Tyreek Hill is going to get 2,000 yards receiving, and he's going to lead the league in receiving. It's not going to be, I know people are, you mentioned, oh, he's going to get to 2,000, but then AJ Brown is going to have more. No, Tyreek Hill is going to lead the league in receiving. He's going to have over 2,000 yards. And if the Dolphins can get things right, Tyreek Hill has a very, very real shot of winning MVP this year.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. He has been outstanding. And speaking of somebody else who has been outstanding, I think all of us expected Tyreek Hill to be outstanding. I think the last piece of good that I want to talk about in this game is somebody who is probably a surprise, has been a surprise all season. He's continuing to be a surprise, and I thought I was actually very pleasantly surprised with his performance on Sunday. I'm giving flowers once again to Austin Jackson, who you thought, I mean, everybody would have expected him to be just dead meat to Max Crosby, and he absolutely held his own against one of the best defensive ends in the National Football League on Sunday. Absolutely fantastic performance from Austin Jackson. I think at this point, you got to be looking at him. I mean, I know there is not a very long list of right tackles in the National Football League that you can be considering for all-pro status. Austin Jackson needs to be in that conversation because he is having that kind of season right now. He really, truly is. And that is a lot. That takes a lot to say, because I think we were part of a not small number of people who were basically ready for the Dolphins to move on from Austin Jackson. And when the Dolphins decided that they were going to stay with him this year, we were all very, very skeptical. And I will give credit to Frank Smith and to Butch Berry and to everybody and to Austin Jackson himself, because he has absolutely come good. He has absolutely proved everybody wrong, and he is in the process of earning himself a nice little payday coming up here. But another outstanding performance from Austin Jackson, and I think you just got to give it up for him.
Absolutely. Dude's doing it every week. He's been consistent. Just needs to keep it up. I don't know if he'll get a Pro Bowl nod. We covered that. We asked that question a few weeks ago. I don't know if he'll get a Pro Bowl nod unless the Dolphins offense really, you know, gets back into high gear. Because I just, you know, the Pro Bowl is so much of it is a popularity contest. And, you know, it takes years of playing at a high level, especially on the offensive line, to get that recognition. But dude definitely deserves the consideration at this point.
Absolutely does. So heck of a job, Austin Jackson. Props to you, Mr. Jackson. All right, let's move our attention. Well, anything else? Anything else good from this game? As we said, the Dolphins winning is great. The Dolphins defense, again, magnificent performances from Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins. I mean, Christian Wilkins with that sack that resulted in the Jalen Phillips interception is exactly the kind of big play in a big spot that Christian Wilkins wants to be paid to make. And he made that play. And if he can keep doing that, I mean, it wasn't the loudest start of the season for Christian Wilkins or Bradley Chubb for that matter, but they are both coming on right now in a big, big way. And I think it's really exciting to see how this defense is coming together. Granted, let's just call it what it is. It is against the Las Vegas Raiders. It is not the strongest offense in the world. Previously, they were against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is not the strongest offense in the world this year, even though it is Patrick Mahomes. But this is a defense that is certainly rounding into form here and is going to have a few more weeks to do that against weaker offenses, to use a polite term. And that's really great to see. So anything other good before we shift our attention to the bad, Brian?
Well, I think because, if you're going to give superlatives on the defensive line, I actually thought that Jalen Phillips had a better game than Bradley Chubb in this one. I thought Jalen Phillips was really getting after it. And I think he's been as consistent as Chubb has been all year. And Chubb probably at this point has been your most consistent player on the defensive side of the ball. Jalen Phillips over the last few weeks really seems to have turned a corner, is healthy. And now you're really seeing obviously it's all coming together. Chubb's playing at a high level. Wilkins is playing at a high level. Phillips is playing at a high level. You've got X and Ramsey healthy. Holland is back there. This is what the defense was supposed to look like. This is what we were all hoping we would see. So look, you can't say enough good things about the defense, but I don't want to heap any more praise on anything other than the defense in this game, as far as the good side of things.
I mean, that's fair enough. Well, let's shift our focus now over to the bad side of things, because and what's interesting is that where I want to start with the bad. Well, I won't start here. We'll finish there because I think that's where most of the conversation is. First of all, turning the ball over three more times, not great. Right. I don't like turning the ball over three times. That is a little bit concerning. That's something that needs to get cleaned up. The Dolphins have a -5 turnover differential on the season, and against teams like the Raiders and Carolina and the Giants, teams without, you know, particularly potent offenses, it's not going to kill you to turn the ball over that many times. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Raiders only scored those points because they were given the ball in plus territory. You know, that's how the Raiders did their damage in this game. Otherwise, the defense held really, really strong. But those, you know, turnovers against a bad team like the Raiders isn't going to kill you. But against better teams, against the Dallas Cowboys, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, those are going to cost you, right? So got to get that cleaned up. Jake Bailey punting, not great. Jason Sanders missing another 50-yard field goal. He then turned it around and made one later, which was good, I guess. But Jason Sanders is not as reliable as he used to be. So that's, again, something that's a little bad. Granted, he hasn't been called upon much this season, but you know, you want a kicker that can reliably make those kicks. But where I kind of want to focus this conversation today is on our quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. And listen, on its face, 28 of 39, 325, two touchdowns and an interception. Those aren't bad numbers, right? Those are good numbers for any quarterback. I think he had a 103 passer rating on the game, right? So these are good numbers. But I think that this is a case where the numbers in this case are a little bit deceiving. And I don't think that they truly paint an accurate picture of what this performance looked like today, because there were times today where it felt like he was out of sync. It felt like, or on Sunday rather, there felt like there were times where he was out of sync. There were times where there was miscommunications, and it just, it's hard to put my foot on it, but he just didn't look as comfortable and confident in this game on Sunday as he has looked at times this season. And it's kind of a weird thing to nail down on, because again, the numbers do look good at the end of the day, right? But I think overall, this might, and again, if this is one of his worst performances of the season, you're in pretty good shape. But I think this was not one of his best performances this season, Brain. And yeah. I think a better performance from Tua is the difference between this game, you know, being a touchdown game and a lot larger difference in the scoreline. I should also mention that, and part of the other difference in the scoreline is that the Dolphins had numerous opportunities to score defensively. Referees called a pass, an incomplete pass that was clearly a backwards pass that should have been a fumble. The Dolphins didn't even do anything with it. They just sat there and looked at it. So the refs blew the play dead. But, you know, I digress. So, Brain, talk to us a little bit about Tua.
Look, it was definitely a below average game for Tua. And you're right, the stats are deceiving. I know a lot of people don't like QBR as a stat, but I think it's a better stat than passer rating. His QBR, you know, his passer rating for the game was 103. His QBR was 38.8, which is very much below average. And it factors in, you know, obviously the fumble. It also factors in, you know, the throws that he missed, because some of the throws that he missed, I mean, there was a, granted, it was not the easiest of throw. He was on of throws. He was on the move. But in the fourth quarter, he had, I believe it was Cedric Wilson. It might have been Jalen Waddle that was open. The Dolphins driving. I think it was the drive that they ended up settling for the field goal. And he just overshot it. It just, you know, kind of airmailed it. And he had him open, like wide open. If it's any kind of good throw, then the he might take it for six. If not, it's probably going to be first and goal or first and 10, just outside of the 10. He very nearly threw another interception in the red zone, one that probably should have been picked. He didn't have many bad throws in this game, but he had enough bad throws that were really bad that it was eye opening. I don't think it was unwarranted for him to not feel comfortable. I can put my finger on it. I think, look, the offensive line played fine, but the Raiders got some pressure on him. They heated him up a bit, and they heated him up early. And I think any quarterback in the league, if you heat him up early, they're going to get happy feet a little bit. They're not going to be quite as I mean, this is football 101. And so that happened. And to that regard, I think you got to give the Raiders some credit. But Tua's got to be better. The fumble, yeah, it can't happen, but it's like, okay, he fumbled trying to make a play. Like, if that happens every now and then, whatever, it happens. He was trying to rush for a first down on the first possession of the game. That stuff happens. The interception that he throws to Waddle, like, that's a one-on-one. He just overshot him. It's, you know, just wasn't a great, he was just a little off. There it's the ones where it's the bad decision that's the ones that kind of make you scratch your head. And he got away with it in the red zone, very easily could have been a pick. And you know, when you throw a pick down in the red zone like that, I mean, it could very easily turn into a pick six, or it could turn into an interception that gets like a 50 or 60 yard return and sets up the Raiders for another score. This very easily could have been a game that the Dolphins lost. And Tua wasn't the reason that the Dolphins almost lost this game, but he was one of the reasons. And he needs to be better. And it's not new. We've said it all season long. And it's honestly, it's carried on since last year that it became very apparent early last season that part of Tua's DNA is that once or twice in a game, he's going to make a throw where you're just going to shake your head and go, that's just terrible. And it's happened virtually every game. And at some point, like, you, like, it is the difference between him being a good quarterback and a great quarterback. He's putting up all the numbers. It's great. But if there's, but if it's every single game that there's one or two of those throws, when it happens against good teams, it's going to be the difference between winning and losing football games. And then that's, and when it gets to the playoffs and you're looked under a microscope, you know what? You know who people are going to remind him of, or who people are going to say he reminds them of? Tony Romo.
Mm.
Great numbers. Big game against a good team. He's always going to do, make some sort of mistake. That's who he's reminding me of right now. Tony Romo. Mm.
Yikes. That's certainly not great. That's certainly not great.
I mean, it's not terrible. Tony Romo, like, he's not a bad quarterback, but like before we like stop the Tua MVP conversation. Like
I think that's fair. I think, I think if there's an MVP coming from the Miami Dolphins, it's not somebody playing quarterback. I think that's probably fair to say at this point. And that's not necessarily an indictment of Tua. Again, this isn't us saying that Tua is bad. It's saying that Tua didn't have a great game. It was, if you want to call that a bad game for Tua, then great. That is outstanding. If that's a bad game for your quarterback, like, that's outstanding. The Dolphins are in good shape, right? Compared to some of these other quarterbacks around the league, right? But let's move our attention to the ugly. But before we move our attention to the ugly brain, because it's also the elephant in the room, I think, at least in terms of, well, we can get into it. But before we do that, a word about our friends at Caldera Lab. Listen, it's getting cold outside, so you really got to bump up your skincare routine a little bit extra. And so one of the things that you can do is use Caldera Lab. They got great lotions for your face. It's a whole skincare routine, but it's quick, it's easy, and it's efficient, and it's going to make you look young. It's going to make you look refreshed, and it's just for you guys. So what you got to do is go to Caldera Lab and use the promo code Dolphins Talk. You'll save 20% off of your order, which is great, especially at the holiday season. And listen, if they're looking for a gift for somebody, it's a perfect idea. And on top of all of that, it helps out the website as well. It helps us out when you support our sponsors. So if you want to show your support for all of us here at the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network, go to Caldera Lab, buy yourself some of their great products, and use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You'll save 20% off. You'll get some great products for your face. And on top of that, you're going to support the website. So that is really good stuff to do. All right. So let's shift our conversation to the ugly. And for me, Brain, I think this one is pretty plainly obvious. And it's Mike McDaniel in short yardage situations. I think Mike McDaniel is a brilliant head coach for the most part. I think the way he manages his players, the way he is a man manager, I think is fantastic. He sees his players as whole people, which I think is really important and wonderful. I think he has schemed up a beautiful offense that is really smart. But when it comes to situational play calling, there leaves a little bit to be desired. And one of those things in particular, and I think this is clear to anybody who has watched the Dolphins for any period of time over the past couple of years, is that he is absolutely terrible when it comes to short yarded situations. And according to the guys over at 3 yards per carry, since Mike McDaniel took over as the Dolphins head coach, the Dolphins are 31st of 32 teams in converting third or fourth and one situations into first downs at a rate of only 42.9%. The only team worse in that period at converting third or fourth and one is the New York Jets. On those third and fourth down and one attempts, the Dolphins have passed the ball 40% of the time and converted only 36% of those attempts, or have passed the ball or planned to pass the ball only on 36. Oh, they've only succeeded in 36% of those attempts. When they run the ball, however, they're 16 of 29 for 55%. Their overall percentage on fourth downs during this time period is 47%, which is a little bit higher than the fourth down and one percentage, which indicates that it's really an issue about short yardage. The issue here is specifically when it comes to short yardage situations. And I don't know what the disconnect is, but Mike McDaniel, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to trust his team to just go out there and get the tough yard when sometimes that's what the situation calls for. Don't outsmart everybody. Don't try to do some. Yes, I know there are times where it has turned into some enormous big play, and that's wonderful. But sometimes you just got to do the high percentage play, which is just run the ball, get yourself a fresh set of downs, and keep your drive going, especially when you move the ball so consistently and so easily. You know, sometimes you just got to take the easy thing that's right there. Go get that tough yard. So that's the ugly for me. It's reared its ugly head again. It's going to continue to do so. Again, hopefully this is eventually something that doesn't come back to really bite the Dolphins in the butt later on this season. But it is absolutely a problem that needs to get addressed here as we come down the stretch in the season and these games start to mean more and more, Bryn.
Yep, and my ugly is the same exact thing. So, because this needs to be driven home over and over and over again until something changes. Because I'll preface this by saying the Dolphins' offense having the ability to reach the heights that it can reach and has reached at times this season is because of Mike McDaniel as the head coach. The problem right now with the Miami Dolphins offense is at the same time Mike McDaniel. And it is a mindset. Until the Dolphins can feel like they can confidently run the ball when they need to, when they want to, and pick up what they need, they will never be an elite offense because they will constantly be having to get cute and having to go around and take the long route instead of the fastest way to get from one point to another, which is a straight line. At some point, you just need to be able to get a yard. And you need to be able to just line up, whether it's a QB sneak, whether you hand it to a fullback, however you want to do it. You want to put Christian Wilkins in at fullback? You want to go full house backfield? You want to go, you know, three tight ends? However you want to do it, it doesn't matter. You need to be able to run up the gut. If they're loading up the box, it doesn't matter. You don't need to get a five-yard run. You just need a yard. And I don't know how much of it has to do with your guards being out, but it shouldn't matter. It's a mindset. You have to be able to run the ball up the middle, and you have to have confidence that you can do it. And if you can't, then you're going to end up with the issue that we have with those numbers that you just said. 31 out of 32 on third and, or 31 out of 32 teams on third and one or fourth and one, 40%. I mean, the fact that they're converting at a higher percentage on fourth and longer than one is asinine. Like, it should be more difficult the further away you are. But the closer they get, the more they're struggling. And it's because they're scared. I'm not saying that the players are scared, but they are coaching scared. Mike McDaniel is coaching terrified of running up the middle. And I said this going into the last game, going into this Raiders game, and you've got four more games against these teams, like, you know, the Jets, the Redskins, the Titans, whatever.
Commanders, please.
Yeah, sorry, the Commanders. You should be able to beat these teams. And if you have to go for it on fourth and one and you run up the middle and it doesn't work, that shouldn't be the reason why you lose to those teams. So just try it. Like, if you try it a bunch of times and it doesn't work, then you could be justified in not doing it. But
when you're doing it and it's succeeding more than it's not succeeding, and when you don't do it, it's not succeeding more than it's succeeding, well, then at some point, it's just dumb. It's just stubborn and it's dumb. It's not a good decision. And that is the difference right now. That's what's stalling out these drives continuously. And frankly, it's an attitude, because you get inside the red zone and all of a sudden they're not running the ball up the middle in the red zone either. They're turning to the passing game in the red zone, and the red zone offense hasn't been that good the last few weeks. Well, so it's having a lasting effect. It's not just on short yardage. It's in general, they're showing an aversion to just running the ball up the middle, unless it's like an obvious passing down, in which case they're like, oh, we're going to be cute and we're going to run the ball.
But here's the thing. If you actually run the ball on third and fourth and one, that's eventually going to, and you show that you can do it, it's going to open up the ability to later on a third or fourth and one actually go ahead and make that play where you decide to call the pass. But you have to be able to prove that you can do it. You have to go get the tough yard. And as Jeff Harris here is saying on Facebook, McDaniel is like Einstein. He can split the fourth dimension, but he can't tie his own shoes. And sometimes that's what he's got to do. Sometimes you just got to go out there and tie your shoes on third and one. Just go. It's a simple task. Go out there, tie your shoes. You get, and I'll tell you what, it's third and one. You get two chances to go tie your shoes.
Yeah. And not only does it open thing, will it open up, you know, the chance for big plays in the passing game, but more importantly, it's going to give you more confidence to run up the middle. And it's going to make this a more physical team. It's going to make it a more complete offense if they can just get over that hump. And then the opposing teams are going to have to respect it. And that's when it opens things up. And that's when this offense truly becomes unstoppable, because then they can run at will and they can pass at will. But right now, they cannot run at will. And that's the issue.
And there it is. So that's kind of where we're at on this team right now. Again, all of this needs to be viewed through the context of, listen, you won the game. You're winning games. You're 7-3. This is the second year in a row. You're 7-3. You are in a really great place. You are, you know, odds makers have you at above 95% chance to make the playoffs. Things are good right now. Okay. But when we're talking about these issues, the reason that we're talking about these little things is because these are the types of things that are going to make the difference between a Dolphins team that might be might be sitting there looking at a record of 11-3 with their going into their final three games of the season, and a team that can confidently go in and win those last three games versus a team that comes in as 11-3 and somehow drops the last three games of the season and finishes 11-6, sneaking into the playoffs, right? It's the difference between a team that can get into the playoffs and win games confidently and comfortably even, versus a team that comes into the playoffs and loses because they made too many mistakes, because they were too sloppy. There is a lot of sloppiness, and it's been a common theme throughout the season that one of the biggest problems the Dolphins have had is that they can't get out of their own way sometimes. And they've got to be able to figure that out. They've got to sort that out over these next few games because, I mean, listen, a lot of Dolphins fans have been banging their chest about the narrative about, well, the Dolphins are going out there and they're beating all of the teams that they're supposed to beat and blah, 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 right? And that's their answer to the narrative that the Dolphins haven't won games against teams with winning records. Fine. But if you want to continue to have that be the case, you have to go out there and win each of these next four games. And it's very possible that you could end up screwing something up down the line, because the way they played this game, the Raiders were right in there at the end of the game. You know, the Raiders were on that final drive. Granted, Aiden O'Connell's not a great quarterback, but they were right there down 7 late in the game. They could have gone down and scored a touchdown. And then at that point, they're 1 2-point conversion away from stealing a game from the Miami Dolphins. It didn't work out. The Dolphins defense stood up. They played a great game. And the Dolphins got the win. But that's the kind of thing that can take a game that should easily be a win, an easy, comfortable win, and make it into a tough, close, grinded out kind of game. And as we've seen a million times in the NFL, when a game is close in the fourth quarter, anything can happen. because it only takes, you know, one of the key things in the NFL is reducing the impact that luck has on the game. And the closer a game is late in the game, the more that luck plays into it. And luck could rear its ugly head and cost you a game late. And the Dolphins, as comfortable as they are right now, they're just luck rearing its ugly head a couple of times away from finding themselves perhaps not in the best or most favorable situation. So, I mean, you could make the argument right now that that sloppiness is part of the reason that they are currently 7-3 instead of 8-2. That's currently the reason that they're not sitting as the number one seed in the AFC right now, is because of that sloppiness in that game against the Chiefs. So
100%.
So, you know, so that's why we talk about these things. Don't get it twisted. Thing is good, right? It's great. We're in a very good place right now, but there are things to clean up as we come down the stretch. Speaking of coming down the stretch, we got one more show this week, Brain. We are going to come to the people on a special night. We're going to be coming to you on Wednesday this week, a Wednesday night episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show, to preview our Black Friday game against the ugly, horrible, no good, disgusting New York Jets. So we'll be back with you Wednesday night, and then we will record that show. We'll have that show for you. It'll be in your podcast feeds Thursday morning. It'll be live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel Wednesday night. Also, the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page. So make sure you're subscribed. Smash that like button. If you're watching on any of those places right now, go ahead and smash that like button. We appreciate it. And leave us a note in the comments. Let us know what your pulse check is. Let us know how you are feeling about this Jets game. Let us know how you are feeling about the Dolphins in general. We do love to hear from you. We appreciate the comments that you leave us in the chat. We do appreciate it very much. And yeah, we will be back with you on Wednesday to preview that Jets game. Brain, any parting words for the people before we go?
Yeah, I know I've been hard on Mike McDaniel for the, you know, the coaching scared stuff on the short yardage. But I'm going to come down on him for something else here too. When there's 5 seconds left in the half and you're on your own 25 yard line, you need to take a knee. Like, I'm sorry. There is the odds of something good happening there that is of any importance are so much lower than the odds of something bad happening. And I'm not even talking about a turnover or something catastrophic like the most catastrophic thing that could have happened literally could have happened. And that is Tua, look, you're going for it on with 5 seconds left and from your own 25. Your quarterback, you're telling your offense, go make a play, make something happen. So they're going to try to make something happen. And when you try to make something happen and you end up with Tua rolling out and getting hit as he throws on a play that looked amazingly similar to the play that he got injured on that ended his college career, because you're stupidly going for it from your own 25 with 5 seconds left. If Tua gets hurt and your season is derailed because of that, it's arguably a fireable offense. That was the dumbest thing of everything that happened in that game. And it ended up, granted, being extremely inconsequential. That was the dumbest thing that I saw in that entire football game. That needs to stop. This whole being aggressive to, you know, going for it on fourth down, going for these weird 2-point conversions, whatever. Some of it is whatever. You got to take the good with the bad. But you've got to, at some point, mature enough as a head coach to know when to show some restraint, because it's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. It was the dumbest thing that I saw in the entire football game.
All right. I think that's a good closing remark there from the Brain. So that is going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. As I said earlier, we will be back on Wednesday to preview the game against the Jets, another highly winnable, must-win kind of game for the Miami Dolphins. And then after that, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving, we'll eat, we'll enjoy some Black Friday football, and then we will be back with you probably next Monday in our regularly scheduled program. So thank you as always for listening and for watching and following along. Thank you for smashing the like button. Thank you for visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you just for all of the support that you've given us and that you constantly show us. We appreciate it very, very much. And until we meet again, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Lead with love. Live for love. Do all things with love.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. Our mighty, mighty Dolphins. We're rooting for the Dolphins. Our mighty, mighty Dolphins. We're rooting for the Dolphins. Our mighty, mighty Dolphins. We're rooting for the Dolphins. Our mighty, mighty Dolphins. We're rooting for the Dolphins. Our mighty, mighty Dolphins.
Boy, you fucked that up.
Yeah, boy, did I fuck that up.